Hey, this is Carlos. Welcome back. We are now in Love Potion number 2. We're going to talk about some of the strategies, tactics, and tricks involved in getting him to further walk down that road with you of commitment and basically making him fall for you. First of all, let's talk about dating. What we've done effectively in the first step, or at least in the first potion, we were addressing more or less the getting him to chase you. Now, the part about this that may be misunderstood, and I want to clarify right now, is that this can really happen at any time. You could be dating a guy for several months and never really have gotten him to really chase you, to really pursue you, to really go after you. And it's something you need to be able to do. It's something you should be able to, you have to have, actually, to make a relationship work in any way. So this could be at the onset, you've just met him, could be you've been dating him for several months, it could be a long time into the relationship, in fact, which is meaning that these tactics, these potions, if you will, can be really used at any point in your relationship. Even if they may sound like they're only for just meeting a guy, they really are intended for any stage and actually should be used at every stage. And you'll see that more as we go through the rest of this program. So you've gotten him to chase you, but you can't let up yet. You got to make him work for your affection, okay? He's got to work for it a little bit. This will give you more value in his eyes. We always value those things that we work for. The car you bought with your own hard-earned money, well, that was a car you took care of. It was a car you babied and nurtured and loved, not the one that was given to you, right? So anything that we pay for, we inherently assign more value to, psychologically as well as in real life. And this will also play to his ego, by the way, making him work for his affection, because he wants to win you. He wants to have the satisfaction of actually winning you over. And that's an important part for a man, because his winning is part of that male drive. He has to feel like he's winning on some level. He has to feel like he's winning at the game of life. And part of winning at the game of life is winning the woman he wants in his life. Okay? Now, at the same time, always keep the possibility there. Make the possibility the function. Remember the possibility potion we talked about, right? Keep injecting cues that will keep him chasing you. That's one of the things we want to do, as well as you have to stop him from feeling discouraged or being too discouraged. A little discouragement is okay. That instills a little doubt and a little bit of, oh boy, I better step up my game. I better get my ass in gear and actually work for this, or I stand a chance of losing it. That is important in every aspect of life. We always value those things which we have assigned more value to, and that we feel like we may be on the very bare edge of maybe, possibly, losing. As the saying goes, you never really miss something until it's gone, and that's unfortunate when it comes to a relationship. You don't want it to get to that point. So two important concepts are both of these things can be used to make him chase you, value and ego. Okay, both of those can be made to basically used and leveraged by you to make him chase you. And it's a good form of chasing and using, if you will. He won't be aware that you're manipulating these things. And I don't really like the word manipulating because it's really not true. On some level, yes, we are always manipulating every day of our lives. We manipulate our realities. We manipulate our finances. We manipulate our diet. We manipulate our car to get to work, things like that. But that's just kind of a very loose use of the word manipulate, because manipulating itself has a bad connotation. He won't be aware that you're steering things. He won't be aware that you're actually using those things in a way that helps you both win. And it's a win-win situation. That's why this is not manipulation in any shape, manner, or form. Okay? Now, the two important concepts are, first of all, value. Number one is value. He will decide to woo you if he thinks you have value. In other words, you are worth spending time to chase. If you have value to him, if he feels like you're valuable, you're worth spending time for him to chase. And that means you're worth thinking about when he's not around you, and he'll be repaid for the effort that he puts into chasing you. That's a big part of it that many people don't, or many women especially, don't understand about men, is they have to sense a certain amount of, well, they're entitled to some form of payback, repaid with, well, of course, the obvious sex and passion, but also excitement. Also a lack of drama and arguments. That's something that he feels is actually a tangible, by the way, is the lack of having a bunch of drama and a bunch of arguments and a bunch of emotional situations that he has to contend with. That's where you fit in with your now installed superior skills of handling men. You can now give him that experience. and other guys respecting him or envying him because he's with you, and you being that cool chick, the one they wish they could have had. Okay, you're not only gonna, he's not only gonna get something out of this, but you will too, believe me. When other guys are envying him, they're gonna be treating you like a princess as well. And that's important to recognize. So remember that repayment factor is very important to him. He's gonna look for clues about value in your relationship. How easy are you to be with? Okay, how easy are you to be with is one of those clues he's looking for. Another clue is, how exciting are you to be with? Are you fun? Are you sexy? Are you unpredictable? These are very important things that tell him if you're exciting to be around. What do other guys think about you? Do other guys find you attractive? Very important. And they should. If you're doing this right, by all means, in fact, you should be almost a little uncomfortable with the fact that most of his guy friends look at you as being, if he ever breaks up with her, man, I'm going to go after her. Okay? Might get a little weird there, but it's just that possibility. That possibility not only makes you feel good about yourself, that you're a desirable woman, but also the fact of this influence you have, this magical influence over men. Are there any potential arguments? Are you a drama queen? This is one of those clues about value, because that's going to majorly discount your value. Don't let that get in your way. Arguing and handling contention is an important skill. It's one I actually talk about in my other programs, specifically the connection code, where I talk to this point exactly in explaining how to avoid those arguments that cripple a relationship, okay? So value is being one of those important concepts, but there's also ego. How does ego fit into this? Well, a lot of what a man decides to do in a relationship is based on ego. How so? Well, guys, of course, you know, have fragile egos, right? He wants to avoid being shot down or looking stupid. And at the same time, if he's attracted to you, he will want to succeed in getting you. Okay, this is all coming back around to his ego, because getting you to like him, to go on a date, to have sex with him, all that stuff, well, different guys have different measures for success with women, but a lot of them are actually very much the same. Those quantifiable things that tell us we're getting somewhere, we're winning. Like if he can get you to like him, if he can get you on that date, if he can sleep over, you know, those things tell him he's winning. You have to give him enough of a chance of success to keep chasing you. But once he thinks he's totally won you, he will stop trying so hard. It's a fact of human nature. Even with women, it doesn't matter what your gender is. We all stop working for something we feel like we've won. And it's not a hard thing to avoid, is this, I call it laziness that creeps into our relationships, if you know, again, how to handle it. And also the reason why I'm telling you that using these strategies at every point in your relationship will solve a lot of those problems for you, okay? It's not just for when you first meet them. It's for all along the whole timeline of getting together with a guy. So remember, you got to keep your independence. This is one of those value things. You don't forget your most magic potion of all. I call it most magic potion. The trick here is to take a date with yourself. Okay, this helps with handling going out and dating guys. Go out with yourself before you go out on a date with him. What do I mean by that? Well, you got to enjoy being yourself, and you got to enjoy being by yourself at the same time. You got to enjoy yourself by yourself, as the phrase may turn. What this means is it's going to reinforce your feelings of independence more than anything. That's what it's going to do. And it's a very important sense of, it's an important thing to be carrying with you at all times. And it needs to be revived, because we very often lose that feeling just due to the pressures of day-to-day life. But it also helps take any pressures off you when you actually have the date. It'll give you less time to be nervous or worry about the outcome of the date. And to be honest, when I had my schedule full of cool things to do, I always remember that no one thing on that agenda for the week, if you will, that was coming up, really took a toll on me in any way. In other words, it didn't really occupy too much of my mind share. I didn't worry too much about it. It wasn't a big deal. And it helped make each one of them go by with less anxiety. There wasn't any pressure in there. Do it the afternoon before your date. Okay, you can do it the night before, or you can do it the afternoon before the date you've set up with him, or the day before if you don't have enough time on the actual day of. But that's important. You want to go out and just do something that's fun, something that's for you, something that's your hobby. I promise you, you will feel more relaxed and confident on your date if you do this. Plus, you're going to have something to talk about. Okay, it's really important to use this strategy for yourself. It's just so important, very important, in how it works to make you feel more independent, more self-confident, and just give you a general aura of power, empowerment with him, and it reflects in your overall attitude. Now, you got to let him lead on the surface. What do I mean by that? Let him lead on the surface. Well, there's reasons you should let him lead on the first dates. Let him take the lead. Number one, he's going to be on the lookout for a controlling personality. This is, of course, a negative factor when it comes to dating women. That's something that guys are looking out for, is a woman that's going to try and control him. Controlling or complaining in any way is a really huge turnoff for a guy. Okay, recognize that. So he's going to be on the lookout for it, and that's something you don't want, which is why you give him that lead and give him that ability to take the lead. No matter how much you may want to control it yourself, you've got to let go of those reins. Number two, he needs to be the man. He needs to feel like he's empowered for his ego. Remember that all-important, fragile male ego? Well, he's trying to live out his own romantic fantasy too, in a lot of ways. He has certain things he wants to happen in a certain way that fulfills his romantic notions of what a relationship start would be like, and you can't get in the way of these things. So recognize that you need to give a man a little bit more empowerment, a little bit more of a break, a little bit more of the lead, a little bit more control, or else it's going to severely impair what happens later on, because those expectations are set early on, and they're set very deeply without you even knowing it. So you got to be aware of that at the very start. At the same time, you do have to participate. It's not a totally passive activity we're talking about here. You got to participate. If he asks you for suggestions for a movie or a restaurant or stuff like that, well, have some ideas for it. You know, have an idea. If he's going to be in your part of town, then of course have some things local that you know about, or do a little research. But you know what? Whatever it may be, if you don't have any suggestions, just compliment him on his choices. And that means even if you don't like them necessarily, because it's going to massage his ego, and it'll be something he will remember later. That's all that matters. What really matters is not necessarily whether or not you totally enjoyed that Thai restaurant he took you to. Maybe the bathrooms were gross and yucky, and you know the women's room was a mess, and well, maybe the calamari didn't taste as good as you had hoped it was going to be. But quite honestly, none of that really matters. It doesn't have any bit of influence over what could be a fantastic relationship between you and him. What really matters is how you left him feeling at the end of that date. Does he feel like you're a cool chick that went along with the flow, and yes, maybe he recognized how bad the calamari was, and yes, maybe he knew that the bathrooms were kind of yucky, but he still wanted to see if you were just going to go along with it and just be cool about it, because he didn't mean for it to happen. It just happened. It's something he will remember later, and it'll also massage his ego. So remember, you have to compliment a guy, and sometimes you have to compliment a guy even on choices you wish he hadn't made. Okay? They're accidental mistakes. He doesn't mean to make them. However, if it's bad judgment overall, well, that's something, of course, that you need to look at and nip in the bud. Number two, tell him what you like. Let him know what kind of food and what kind of movies you like, so that he knows what kind of thing to choose. If he chooses something completely contrary to what you like, but you never suggested something to the something else, well, then, you know, you really have nothing to complain about, because how else could he have known? Yeah, maybe it would have been nice if he asked, but quite honestly, he doesn't want to have to ask. He wants to just create this romantic date for you. Remember, this is a time game. This is a time game. He's going to think that he has the lead in the budding relationship, and your time for choosing dates and experiences will come later. So you will get your chance, you'll get your turn, but you have to be willing to wait a little bit and bide your time a little. This may come as a little bit of a cliche, but it is oh so important, so very important for any relationship. And it's not only at the start, it's all the way through a relationship. You have to learn how to be unavailable and effectively unavailable to a man. And we call this the busy spell. Okay, the busy spell. This is easy. If you've taken the steps to create your own life, and you've got this independence, you've got the hobbies, you've got the things going on that appeal to you and keep you excited and interested, this will take care of itself. It's easy, okay? And it should be this. It should be an easy step that I don't even have to tell you about. But the unfortunate truth is that it is something I have to remind you about. And I'm going to give you some examples here. Number one, when he calls you for a date, or even a follow-up date, and he's trying to set, tell him you're busy on the first day that he suggests. First day just doesn't work. He suggests Thursday. Thursday's just not going to work. Even if you're not busy, Now, I know I'm going to hear the battle cry of number one, but Carlos, if I really like him, I want to go out with him. Well, yeah, that's true. You do. Okay. And you don't do this all the time. I'm saying do this maybe once. And at the same time, you're also probably saying, but Carlos, isn't this manipulative? Isn't this playing games? Well, okay, if we're going to get into the conversation about playing games, let's get back to the fact that playing games is what we do as human beings. We play games all day long with every person in our life. There is no such thing as a human interaction that doesn't have some element of, I don't want to say manipulation, but some bit of manipulation and battle for control, something we used to call games and game playing. There are books in psychology written about this fact, more than enough to probably convince you of the fact that there's no such thing as an interaction between human beings that doesn't have games in some format or another. So don't worry about that stuff. That's not what we're trying to do here. We're not trying to manipulate or push him around or shove him into doing something against his will, because frankly, you can't do that. What we're trying to do is create a win-win situation. That means it's not manipulative, and that also means it's not game playing, because you're working towards something you both want. Nobody's going to think it's game playing if they get what they want out of it, right? Okay. I will probably end up having to say this again by the end of this particular program, but it's a very important concept because it's one that we all get hung up on and worry about so endlessly that we're playing games, we're manipulating. Well, you know what? If playing a little bit of the games that people normally play and knowing how the rules work so that I can play the game well and get the person I want in my life and create that relationship that lasts a lifetime, it gives me that kind of perfect true love and true romance that I've been looking for, that's a game worth playing. And it's also worth learning how to play, if you ask me. Otherwise, you can try and play. I mean, what would happen if you sat down and played Monopoly with your friends every weekend, but you didn't know the rules? What do you think the likelihood is that you're going to win? Pretty much next to zero, right? Same thing with chess. You sit down with somebody that plays chess a lot, and you don't know the rules, and you're just kind of winging it. Or you don't have any idea about strategy in the game. Guess what? They're going to own you every single time you play that game. You don't deserve that. You deserve to get what you want, and the way to get what you want is learning how to play by the rules and use them effectively so that both of you win. There, enough of my ranting on that. Okay, so that's one thing you can do. Or you can suggest, when he calls for a follow-up date and you just kind of say no to the first one, you can always just, again, number two, suggest an alternate time. You have a lot of options on how to play this one out. You can suggest a different time or different day right away. You can say, look, Thursday's not going to do it for me, but we could go Friday. Or, well, Thursday at 6 isn't going to work. I've got a class that I go to. How about Thursday at 8? Okay, that's it. Suggest it. Or let the call end and then call him later that evening. And then say, you know what? I really want to go to that restaurant. Let's do it Saturday instead of Friday. Or let's do it Friday instead of Saturday. Pull it up a little sooner. There's lots of ways to play that, okay? And play it well and make it something. Because anything that you say, it's going to be agreeable in some form or another. You will find a date. And if you change the date and for whatever reason he totally loses interest in you, he never had it in the first place. So this worrying about playing hard to get that's going to turn him off, it doesn't work that way. A man that's truly interested will not be turned off by a woman that doesn't immediately make it easy for him to see her again. That's not it. In fact, he'll be challenged and he'll be even more fascinated to get himself in your presence again. Another way you can do this is to wait a couple of days before calling back to set up another time. Okay? Again, if he really likes you, he will call again before you can call him. Keep that in mind too. So let's say you set that up for Friday and you say, okay, and this is Monday night, you can always wait till Tuesday or even Wednesday and call him back and say, hey, you know what? I was just thinking, let's do it a little bit later or whatever. You change it just slightly. And that's going to put a little bit of, a slight amount of uneasiness in him because he's going to be like, oh no, is she going to cancel the date on me? But no, you're just rescheduling a little bit. And it shows him that you're not so concerned that you can't change the date on something or change the time of it. Another option is tell him to meet you as you finish up with whatever it is you're doing. Okay, so maybe you've got your spinning class on Thursday night at 6 and you can't get out right then. But what you can do is say, hey, you know what? We can make this go a little quicker. I'm done with my class by 6:30 and I should be ready to go by 7. If you want to pick me up and meet me at the gym, or we can meet there right after. what he's going to do is he's going to see that you really do have your own life. Okay, really important, especially if he meets you at the gym or wherever it is. He gets a firsthand look at that independence of yours. Yes, important, because showing is always better than telling. And maybe you can add a second spell onto this busy spell we're playing if he comes to pick you up from your hobby, right? If you're with girlfriends, let's say you're doing that spinning class with some girlfriends, let him see you and then whisper something to them while you're looking at him, okay? So maybe he's waiting for you at the front of the building and you're with your girlfriends. You look at him and then you whisper something to one of them. Don't tell him what you said to the girls. Play it off if he asks. But he's going to be intrigued and he'll take it as a cue that you're into him. Okay, he needs these. He needs these little things that give him hope that he might stand a chance with you. You'd be amazed how frequently women stop this sort of thing because they don't want to make him think that he might stand a chance with her, which is really counterproductive. Trust me on that one. These are the fun ways that you flirt. It's just like being back on the playground, right? That little whispering and the giggling and all that stuff, it still works. And don't ever think you're too old to use it. Say goodbye to any attractive males who happen to be there. This is another little strategy you can use. Okay, so maybe you're at the spinning class and you know this guy, Dan, who's there, who you'd never really date, but he's a friend of yours. So make sure you say goodbye to him. It'll get his jealousy juices flowing a little bit, but so what? It's not a big deal. Of course, make sure your prospective guy sees you when you say goodbye to this guy, right? It increases your value because he will think that other guys want to flirt with you, that other guys are into you. A lot of a person's desirability, quite honestly, is manufactured by how much we think other people want that person. It's totally irrational. It's totally crazy, but it is totally true. There's a great book by, his name is Cialdini, and the book is called Influence. And you should read it because one of those things is called social proof. And they've proven that we want things more when other people want them. It's the way we're built as human beings. It's because, in evolutionary terms, something that somebody else wanted must have value. We immediately assign value to that thing because other people want it. So I must want it, which is why so much marketing and so many advertisements work on us on a very visceral level. So try that technique. Use that. Again, you're not trying to be manipulative or trying to be mean or play them. You're trying to get those juices flowing that start and kick off the relationship because those initial emotions, the initial things he experiences in those first few dates are critical to what happens later on. And if you want to remanufacture that later on, you've got to be willing to employ a little bit more strategy. Okay, so that's how the busy spell works. Don't always be unavailable. This is the counter side of that. Okay, you want to show them your independence. You want to get them to try a little harder for you, but at the same time, you also don't want to frustrate them. You don't want to overdo it. Always suggest an alternative time or date if you are, quote unquote, unavailable. And hopefully you really are unavailable, by the way. I want to emphasize that too. I'm not saying say you're unavailable even if you're not. I'm saying make yourself really unavailable. You've got things to do. You're a busy woman. You've got plenty of things you could be doing. You gotta meet up with people in your family. You gotta hang out with your girlfriends. You've got to do your hobbies. You've got classes you're going to. You are a busy person, aren't you? You better be. You know what? Even if you wait a week to do the date, it's better than making it too easy on him and, again, risking that loss of value that he should be feeling from you. You always need to feel valuable to him. So don't be always be unavailable. Flirting tricks. What are some good flirting tricks? Well, you want to keep coaxing him forward. I've made that clear thus far. The way you flirt and how much you flirt will help him decide when and how to act. So you've got to know how those flirting spells work. There's what I call the show, don't tell spell. Okay, we're going to give you a little spell to supplement your potion. Doing something makes more of an impression than saying something. It's just the way of human nature is that we assign more value and more weight, more gravity, if you will, to something that's done rather than what's said. So think of this as physical flirting. And I'll give you an example of how this is done. Here's how to do this. Number one are some subtle ways. Subtly, if you're sitting next to him, turn your body towards him while he's talking and while you're talking too. If you're standing beside him or near him, stand a few inches too close to him. Okay, we talked about the personal bubble thing. This is important here too. Okay, you want to stand a few inches too close to him. Make eye contact and then wink at him for no reason. This one takes a little guts, but you know what? It is incredibly powerful. I've had women do this to me, and I was like, wait a minute, what did she just do? And then she started talking about something, and I'm like, wait a minute, what did you wink at me for? And she just kind of winked at me again, and it was frustrating, but at the same time, it was like, oh, man, you're driving me crazy. And that frustration feeling is normally challenged into sexual desire. Of course, it has to be unexpected. It has to come out of nowhere, and of course it can't be too overused, but it really does work. It's very effective. And the best part is when you get good at it, when you start seeing how effective it is. Touching. Look for an excuse to touch him. Look for a reason to touch him. Bump into him when you guys are walking together. I've had women do that too, and they do it on purpose. Like they bump their hip into mine. They almost like a hockey body check. But then stay close for a few extra steps after you've done that. That's what really makes that effective. There's the door holding trick. The door holding trick is very simple and straightforward. If he opens the door for you, you can also grab the handle, touching his hand. Okay, so you both he does that, and then you grab his hand by accident there, or quote unquote accident. And what you do is you joke that you want to hold the door for him too. And during the whole joke, your hands are touching. This is incredibly, I want to say erotic, but just stimulating to a guy. It's like, woo, I'm touching her, but she's laughing at with me, and we got this joke, and it's all cycling up into this whirlwind of, again, sexual tension. There's the that's funny nudge. I already mentioned giving his hand a slap when he teaches you, which is really important. It's one of those momentary physical contacts, and you can't overlook these too much, too. It's probably the number one thing you can do to really start the process of him building a strong desire connection for you. A nudge escalates this idea to the next level. And the idea is this. It works when you're standing or when you're walking. Either way, it's fine. But you purposely run into him a little bit or just kind of bump into him, but nudge him with your shoulder. Again, not too hard. You're not trying to body check him. It's more like a teasing bump in response to his joke or teasing. You're like, oh, come on, right? You can kind of see how that would go. You go, oh, man, come on, and you bump him with your shoulder like that. And it's meant to be a little playful interaction, but those things, it's like a subset of the same kind of energy that's at work when you start a tickle fest or a pillow fight with somebody. Okay, a little bit of that same energy that goes on. You can say thanks with a little touch. Say thanks with a little touch. And it can be just a touch on the back of his hand with your fingertips. You can give his forearm a squeeze. A quick pat on the chest. This is interesting, too. I've had this one done to me and seen women do it to other guys where they put the palm of their hand against a man's chest for a second and just kind of, they almost pat him, but they kind of let their hand slide down his chest a little bit and away from him. Very, very effective at getting a guy turned on. I mean, turned on in the right ways, getting his emotions engaged and getting him to think, ooh, hey, I stand a chance here. Pinch his ear or his cheek. Okay, these are very flirtatious physical expressions that many women consider to be uncomfortable just because they don't realize that it's okay to do them. And when they do figure it out, and when they do start using them, and you do start seeing how incredibly effective they are at creating that magnetic sense of sexual desire from a man, believe me, you will keep doing them. But if right now you're saying to yourself, oh, Carlos, I could never do that. No, you need to reassess what it is you think you could never do, because trust me, these are things you should be doing, and they do work. And the women who really get it are doing it. I want you to take a note here that he will notice where you touch him. He will notice this. A quick contact with his hand or his arm is going to be considered flirty. Touching his body, his legs, his head, his face will be a sign that you want to get more physical with him. Okay, so keep that in mind. The quick contact on his hand or arm will get his attention, whereas touching the body, legs, head, face, it's going to be a sign that you want to get more physical with him. And that he'll probably try to give you a similar touch to see for sure where you stand. So he will test you back by trying to do a similar kind of touch to you. Okay, it might not be very refined, might be exactly what you did, but you'll know in a heartbeat where he stands too, which is going to be your indication. Okay, so that's a good test. It's a good, I call it a feeler or a ping that tells you where he's at. So look for those excuses to touch him, and please, by all means, find the one of these that you're most comfortable doing, start doing that, and then start moving up the scale of what might have seemed uncomfortable. It's going to seem a little more doable in the very near future. Inject a compliment or two, okay? We're still talking about the show don't tell spell. What you can do is inject a compliment or two. Don't try too hard. Each date, just give him one compliment about his appearance or personality, something new that you appreciate about him, okay? Appreciation is something that men are woefully lacking in, and they need to hear and feel and just get it. So you have to understand that that is very, very important to inject in there and to get in there. Okay, we're going to go on to the next segment. I want you to continue to the next video, where we are going to talk about finish this section up on love potion number two with the jealousy potion and what I call the cool girl spell. So carry on to the next video.